2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Good Tuesday! This is the MLB Daily Dispatch, brought to you by good folks over at DFSArmor.com. If you're not signed up with us yet, make sure you do so. Use the promo code OPENINGDAY. Get you 7 days for free to check out everything you like inside the DFS Army. We got the Domination Station crushing it. Did so in NBA last night. We had a huge win from our member Haster. We've got the Domination Station going on for NASCAR, PGA, all sorts of other things. You get 24/7 access to our Slack chat channel, which homes some of the best names in the business. Everybody's there to help have a damn old good time and sweat these games out. And, of course, you get the premium MLB tools, which you got Keith's lineup page, which breaks down handedness and WOBA and all sorts of those fun MLB stats. You got analytics corner with me and Bernsey that you get as well. Some of the best notes in the business, I might have to say myself. Once again, DFSArmor.com. Use the promo code OPENINGDAY. Try us out. See what you like. All right. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. Find my co-host, Keith Hall, at Boomers DFS Daddy over there on Twitter. NBA is coming down to the final last couple days. I think this should just be a nice, clean MLB slate with no shenanigans in it.
Yeah, of course we always get shenanigans when we've got Dave Roberts trying to pull his shenanigans like he did last night. One of the things I wanted to touch on that I forgot, we completely forgot to, maybe we did, but I forgot if we did or not. So I'm going to touch on it again, is when the Dodgers are facing lefties, literally when that lefty comes out, they do a hockey-style substitution. As soon as they can, first chance they get, they start putting in their other guys. He's just got too many toys to play with. He's got too many toys in the toy box. So you have to be careful with the Dodgers' exposure when they're facing lefties. Because guys like Franklin Gutierrez, who got hurt last night, Andy Van Slyke, you know, I think the only guy that's really safe, to be completely honest, is Justin Turner. Him and even Yasiel Puig has been subbed out from time to time. So Justin Turner is about the only person that's actually sat there and hit against righties and lefties. So, yeah, that was just kind of a little bit of a thing. We saw them kind of get dominated again by lefties and last night. And I think this is going to be a continuance that we can go through all year long.
Yeah, I want to say with the, you know, the Dodgers were pretty bad against left-handed pitching last year, but I figure, you know, last night was a bad example since they faced John Lester, who can pretty much turn anybody. But you've got, you know, new addition in there. You know, we got Logan Forsythe. They had that addition there with Franco Gutierrez. Going to see how long that he's out. So, yeah, going forward, I will worry about exactly how bad they are against left-handed pitching. But yeah, having that situation that you just brought up with the full hockey line change, you know, it kind of, you know, reminds you of some of these NBA teams who have a really deep rotation, and you know, they don't necessarily allow some of their guys to get in a fantasy point zone, which I'm sure they care so much about. But, you know, it's just one of these things that you got to be cognizant about as a fantasy player. And, you know, hey, if nobody else points it out, don't worry. We got people that'll do it. Don't you worry, folks. My damn Phils tilted me last night. We lost by two. Your boys tilted you. They lost by two in that game. So, you know, I'm very happy that we're going against Matt Harvey today. I think this should be a nice bounce back game for my Phils, and then you guys are going up against Jared Weaver. And I've already declared this, that if the Rockies don't score 10 plus one runs on Jared Weaver tonight, They must go sit in the corner for 10 games.
I don't know if we're going to score 10-plus runs, because the last thing you want to see, and this is just coming from a baseball perspective, like actually playing, the last thing that you want to see when you're struggling is a guy that throws junk balls. like, give me a guy that's going to throw 97 and straight over a guy that's going to throw, you know, 77, and you have no way where it's going to go, where it's going to move. You know, it's either going to be one extreme or the other tonight. It's not going to be in the middle. It's either going to be absolutely just completely a bomb fest, and we're going to finally see Coors blow up. For all of those that were tweeting me, asking me, no, I did not break Coors. Coors is fine. Coors does not go Coors until it starts to get warm. That's why it's easy to fade Coors in the middle of the beginning of the season. Now, with that said, that home run that Will Myers hit, that oppo that went like straight up in the air, when it came off the bat, you look at it and you think that, oh, this is just a fly ball to Carlos Gonzalez. Yeah, no. That does happen.
Chris Davis had one of those. The Oakland Chris Davis had one of those yesterday in Kansas City, of all places. Very interesting.
Yeah, well, he hit that ball a mile high. What?
That was a wind-aided ball like that.
That's what I'm saying.
Like he hit it off the handle.
He hit that ball a mile high.
In the sky.
Yeah, which caused the wind-aided home run.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. I know a mile is certainly,
Okay, fine. He didn't hit it a mile high.
Okay.
But you know what I'm hit it very, very, very high, to where it was affected more by the wind than a normal fly ball.
Wind parameters, we got them, folks. We got them.
Yeah.
All right, so how many games we got here on today's slate?
You 10 know, typically, on the evening slate.
10 on the evening slate. All right, typically we've been breaking these games down pretty quickly. Nothing will change today, folks. We're all about efficiency here. Let us begin then. Started off in the nation's capital, where we've got the St. Louis Cardinals at the Washington Nationals. Again, like I said, for whatever reason, these two teams, they put up a ton of runs when they see each other. Certainly the case last night is we had damn near 20 runs in that one. Lance Lynn, the righty, going for the Cardinals against Gio Gonzalez, the lefty, in this one. Lance Lynn pitched decently against the Cubs in his 2017 debut. 5 1/3, 5 hits, 1 walk, 2 earned, 4 strikeouts in that one. That was on 98 pitches. Now, against the Nationals in his last three starts, he's been pretty good. He's got 20 innings against them under his belt. He's got the whip under 1. He's only given up two earned runs in those 20 innings, and he does have 20 strikeouts in those 20 innings. Cardinals hitters are doing 179 against him in that span as well. He had 2 starts at Nationals Park in the last 3 years here. He's done fairly well, 12 innings, 12 strikeouts in that one, 2 earned runs there. Solid BVP numbers against a lot of this Nationals lineup, too. Looking at Gio Gonzalez, he got no decision in his debut against the Marlins. He goes 6 innings, 7 hits, a walk, no earned runs, which is nice to see that out of him always. And he did get 7 strikeouts in those 6 innings. That's on 90 pitches. Decent numbers against the Cardinals, not as good as Lynn against the Nationals, though. 23 2/3, whip of 1.47, which is scary. But he has only allowed 10 earned runs, and he does have 21 strikeouts in that span. Anybody that you see with the upper edge in this matchup?
I actually like Lance Lynn tonight.
Okay.
As a sneaky GPP pitcher. Look, I know he didn't get the quote-unquote quality start last game, but this is a guy that we loved playing 2 years ago. He had TJ surgery last year. You've got a Washington Nationals team that strikes out 21% of the time versus right-handed pitching over the last couple of years. He's got a pretty decent DFSA grade right there, probably the high point of the second tier. You know, and he's a guy that he's got some innings under him. Usually pitches pretty well. The problem I have is, you know, he hasn't built up they're still going to be very, very cautious with him in the second start, you know, coming off of TJ. You've got
tomato juice,
Tommy John. You've got a guy that in Mike Matheny that isn't going to let him extend and labor too much because they need him for the long haul this season because they have no pitching depth whatsoever with the loss of Alex Reyes. It's tough because I want him to go out there and kind of dominate and strike out, but I want him to be efficient enough to go into the sixth, seventh inning. I think he's a good GPP pitcher. I would not trust him in cash. I don't really care what his price is. And it has nothing to do with the Nationals bats. It has everything to do with I don't trust Mike Matheny to let him go out there and, you know, go 110 pitches. We saw it last game. As soon as he got to, you know, 97 pitches and Matheny had a chance to yank him, he did. I love Lance Lynn. He's a horse, but he's a tournament play only for me. As far as these Cardinals bats, the only one that I have any faith in right now is Aledmys Diaz. And what's funny is he's the one that did the worst last night.
We won't hold it against you.
No, we won't. But let's see. What did Matt Carpenter do last night?
I think he had a single and a run.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's what we pay for coming out of our three hole.
3,000 on FanDuel last night, by the way. I was a bit shocked by that.
Oh, their prices have not in any way, shape, form, or fashion normalized. I think they had to literally go in and yell at somebody in order to get people to, or get them to, you know, jack up the prices for Coors today. Because they were ridiculously stupid last night. I can't do Matt Carpenter's got to show me more than just, you know, a single in one game. So I'm probably off. I'm probably actually off a lot of these Cardinals bats outside of like Piscotty. And, you know, those guys that can, you know, put the ball out of the yard. I don't have DFSA grades for anybody yet because I'm inputting lineups kind of right now as we speak. So as soon as I get a lot of those, then, you know, just make sure you pay attention to Boomers Bombers because they will be in there. So
I will speak for a lot of our clientele here when I say, Andale, 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 come on, come on.
Hey, I went to bed early last night. Like, as soon as the last pitch of the Rockies game was done, I was in bed and counting Z's. I have been this first week of baseball with the duel of basketball has absolutely just kicked my butt. So,
you know I know. You know I know, Keith. Let us take a look at some of these bats in here. You were talking about not being so giddy up on a lot of these cards bats, but Dexter Fowler, 10 for 20 against Gio Gonzalez over the course of his career. He's got two doubles, a triple, and a homer in that stretch. Yadier Molina, 6 of 17 against Gio with three doubles in that span. We just talked about Matt Carpenter. Don't worry, you can still fade him. He's 2 for 16 against Gio, two doubles, four strikeouts in that stretch. Johnny Peralta, 5 of 21, a double, a homer, six walks, which is interesting, but also six strikeouts, which kind of brings him back down to earth. Let's talk about the Nationals bats here because, you know, I know you got a little bit of interest in Lance Lynn, but Stephen Drew is going to be our free square of the day at 2,000 on FanDuel. I was looking for his price on DraftKings, and I started going into outer space. So any check on him over on DraftKings?
I don't even have DraftKings pulled up.
All right. I got my other list, which could probably bring him to the top dollar per point.
Oh, but I know a way I can do it real quick. Watch this.
Ah, boom.
I can't watch you. I can't see you, Doc.
He is 2,800 on DraftKings. All I gotta do is type in his damn name.
Look at that. Magic at its finest, folks. Yes. So, yeah, Drew, if he's not in Alvarez's article, we're going to have a talk with him because that's just entirely too cheap for a guy who's probably going to be in the two hole. He's mashing right now. He's doing everything that we want out of him. Mega chalk, though, he will be today. The only reason to not have him in your lineup today would be to avoid.
And it's baseball. Yes.
Just to avoid the masses. Daniel Murphy, 6-4-17 with two doubles against Lance Lynn. He's also third in the National League right out of the gate with a .419 batting average. So you got that. A couple so-so BVP numbers from the rest of the Nationals. Nothing really too big that we have to go into, but you know, Bryce Harper, Adam Lind have homered off Lind before. You got Worth and Zimmerman who have got a couple hits, but not the greatest average against him. So keep that in mind. And then lefties against Lind over the last three seasons, lefties have hit for 18 points higher than right-handed bats. So just a little split notice there.
Yeah, it's I think if you're going to do something with the Nationals today, I think you stack them. I don't like them as one-offs, not against Lance Lynn. So, but you know, I can't fault you for stacking them because it's not like this Cardinals, it's not like Lance Lynn's going to throw nine innings and this Cardinals bullpen is not very good. So, at least early on. So again, I don't mind kind of targeting them either.
A lot of these matchups between these two teams usually end with a lot of people putting their foot on home plate. So that means a lot of runs if you didn't get my sneakiness right there, anyone. All right, let's get to the next game of the night.
As opposed to their hands on home plate.
That's a good point. Well, maybe the runs are so easy they don't even have to slide head first. All right, All right, the hated by me New York Mets sending Matt Harvey out on the mound against my Philadelphia Phillies, who we send Clay Buchholz to the mound. A battle of the righties in this one. Not a terrible debut for Matt Harvey. Goes 6 2/3, gets the win, gives up three hits, no walks, which was impressive. Gave up two earned runs. Both of those were homers to Matt Kemp, but he only had four strikeouts. All this on 77 pitches. As you can see from the numbers there, great control from Harvey. But the one thing I watched that start in big, wide eyes open in that one, mainly because I hate the Mets and I'll take any shot I can to gnaw away at them. But the one thing I will say, just in a biased sort of way, that Harvey was not missing many bats. That Atlanta Braves team was very aggressive going up to the plate against him, swinging on a lot of first pitches, not really letting Harvey
get into a groove.
Exactly. So, you know, and the one thing I noticed too, Harvey was throwing a lot of breaking balls to the early hitters in the count, to the early hitters in the order. So a lot of 1-4 were getting some of these weak ass pitches. That's probably why, you know, if they're attacking first pitch, it didn't really work out so well for them. The Phillies have had their share of strikeouts this season, but you know, we've seen over these last couple games they've kind of, you know, they've made life hard on guys like DeGrom and Steven Strasburg. So I do think that they're going to have a pretty good night tonight against Harvey. Harvey's numbers against the Phillies aren't that great over the last four starts. 24 1/3 innings. He does have 24 strikeouts, but he's also given up five homers, 13 earned runs to this Phillies team. The opposing Phillies are batting .277 against him in this span. So there is all that. If we're looking at the pitcher on the other side of things, Clay Buchholz, he did not do so well in his Phils debut. He goes five innings, gives up eight hits, two walks, four earned runs, only three strikeouts against that Reds team. So he did have, you know, the bad thing about him, he had at least one runner in scoring position in every inning except the first. So, look, we know these Mets, they got a couple good lefty bats. They can certainly take advantage of it in this ballpark. I'm not looking at either pitcher in this one, but anything rise to the top for you there?
No.
Good.
I am not in any way, shape, form, or fashion on any of these pitchers at all. Clay Buchholz has kind of been one of those guys that we kind of just, you know, pick on. If you kind of look at a little bit of the BVP here, he has not fared well against Asdrubal Cabrera. However, Curtis Granderson has not fared well against him. So,
oh, no.
I don't know about a stack. I'm not willing to poo-poo it, but I'm not willing to give it the old college try either. I love Asdrubal Cabrera. I've played him a lot last year. And going back to this, he's one of the most consistent bats, and he's batting at the top of the order. He can hit for power every once in a while, and he can put the ball in play. He's a guy that I really do like playing, especially when he's in that two spot, hitting in front of Yoenis, Cespedes. And if Jay Bruce keeps performing the way he does, then this is going to – now, granted – this is not going to be a team that, you know, moves, you know, gets everybody through the line and, you know, has a carousel going. They're going to be a station-to-station team. They're going to be a team that hits the ball out of the ballpark. But this is a good place to do that with. So it didn't pay off last night. I'm not shy about going back to it again tonight.
Yeah, definitely not. Asdrubal Cabrera has a little bit of narrative in this one, too. I don't know if you remember, there was a game last season, but the Mets and Phils went back and forth, and Asdrubal hit that walk-off three-run homer. It was a huge win for them.
Oh, I remember.
So he, you know.
We talked about it.
Yeah, he throws his bat up. So the guy that ends up, or the guy that gave up that homer, he came into the game last night. First pitch whizzes a 95-mile-an-hour. I'm not even kidding you. About 30 feet over Cabrera's head.
Yeah, so, went to the backstop.
Yeah, so we're like, you know, you're watching the game and you're like, what the hell's going on? So it came up like, I don't know.
And this was after I believe I had the conversation about how Asdrubal Cabrera needed to be dotted for bat flipping on a fly out to the warning track in right center field.
So, yeah, so basically all that happens and, you know, Cabrera ends up getting the walk. I believe two batters later, that's when Jay Bruce hit the go-ahead two-run homer. So, you know, Mets certainly did not need that to wake him up, but, hell, we gave it to him. Thanks, buddy. So, yeah, you got that from the Mets tonight. They can come out really smoking hot. Now, one guy that I would totally stay away from, Jose Reyes, certainly not a guy to
be
mistaken.
We talked about it yesterday.
Indeed, but I got to bring up the exact numbers now. So this season he is 1-for-27. With 9 strikeouts and 1 walk. His on-base percentage, I believe that's like .050, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
It's hilarious.
Either way, it's not very good.
It's hilarious. There's a line in Moneyball. And if you guys know us, if you were with us last year, we quote Moneyball all the time. just because I think it ties a lot into fantasy. But there's a line in Moneyball where Billy Bean is talking to David Justice, and he goes, David Justice goes, "You're paying me $8 million. He's like, "No, David, no. I'm not paying you $8 million. The Yankees are paying half your salary. The Yankees are paying you to play against them." Yeah, see, this is what we love. I'm going to say this. He's one of the highest paid players in baseball. Jose Reyes is, but not because the Mets are paying him. The Mets are paying him a league minimum veteran contract. No. The Rockies are paying him $22 million to go suck for the Mets. Toodles.
So that is still. So that's not even Toronto money, huh?
That's
Colorado money?
Interesting. Yes, because we took it because we, in order to get some of the prospects from the Blue Jays that we got, we had to take the salary of Jose Reyes. And, yeah.
I love how you worked Moneyball into a player from the same game that you worked Moneyball into last night on the Slack chat channel. Very, very savvy of you, Keith.
Very. Oh, Mr. Eichhoff, sir, yeah. You have confidence with a capital C.
Yes, indeed. All right, so let's see. Buchholz has never faced the Mets as a team, but again, he has seen a lot of these guys from his time with the Red Sox, and you know, when these other guys are on the Rays or the Yankees or wherever. So you've got some of those numbers there, but let's talk about some of these Phillies bats. And again, I don't want to just skim over the Mets, but a lot of their left-handed bats are going to be a great idea. A lot of their bats in general are going to be a great idea tonight, but we've mentioned that. So with the Phillies here, you got noticeable splits against Harvey from 2014 to 16. You've got left-handed hitters hitting 260 against them, 744 OPS, 19 homers against the left-handed side of the plate. Right-handers, they're, 21 points lower. The OPS is almost 150 lower. And then only 7 homers given up to the right-hand side of the plate. But keep in mind, he has given up 2 homers already this season to Matt Kemp, which I mentioned earlier. So I'm trying to target some, maybe like a Cesar Hernandez, Michael Saunders, guys like that would be pretty good for this. Odubel Herrera is only 2-for-12 against Harvey. He does have a homer. Yeah, he does have a homer, 4 strikeouts against him. But again, this is a different Matt Harvey than some of these guys have faced in the past. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, Matt Harvey doesn't have the balls to go out there and dot him in the back in between the numbers.
Harvey's actually, from all accounts I've heard of him, pretty cool guy, but he's a Met, so I'm just forced to hate him.
Yeah, but he still doesn't have the balls to go out there and dot somebody.
I think he does. The only thing with him, though, if he dots somebody, his velocity's come down so much, I don't know if it's going to hurt anybody. So that's fine. Okay, let's go. Let's talk about the next one here. Cincinnati Reds, rookie Davis going for them. He's a rookie. At the Pittsburgh Pirates against James Tyon. I finally got the pronunciation.
Jameson.
Okay.
Jameson Tyon.
The O-N is silent. So Davis, being a rookie, has never faced the Pirates. There is that element of the unknown for him. And then going up against Tyon here. Now, he had a fantastic opening day – or not opening day, but 2017 debut start at Boston. Gets a no decision, goes 7 innings, 5 hits, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts. That's in 95 pitches, and that is very impressive considering the Red Sox have the second fewest strikeouts in the majors right now.
Yeah, nobody expected that, by the way.
No.
Don't you love baseball? Like things that we don't expect just come up and just like pop in out of nowhere. That's why I love this game. Like we can sit here and we can break down all the numbers and think that we know exactly what's going to happen. And a lot of times we're going to be very, very close to being right. But you know what? This game is played by humans. This game is very humbling. Okay? This is a game right now where Miguel Cabrera has 2 base hits, no RBIs, no extra base hits, no home runs. And guess what? He's still going to finish among the leaders in all of those categories. But this is the first week of the season. So I say all this to basically tell you, temper your damn expectations and stop freaking out, everybody. Jameson Tyon is not going to be the guy that is going to shut down everybody every single week or every single start. And guess what? Tyler Glasnow is not going to be the guy that walks in 4 runs in a freaking game and 2 1/3.
Okay. Oh, man, Cervelli was giving him an old heart-to-heart after that first inning last night.
Cervelli, the pitching coach, Clint Hurdle, like, it was just...
Getting to know you.
Exactly. And so now everybody's going to jump off the Tyler Glasnow bandwagon, and guess what we're going to do at the DFS Army? Because this is baseball, we're going to jump right back on. Because, honestly, he can't get any worse.
No, definitely not. All right. I don't think we're going to be going with any pitchers in this one. So let's –
it's because of weather. It has nothing to do but anything but because of weather.
I thought I saw light drizzle.
I'm showing severe thunderstorms.
Okay, well,
we're not Kevin middle, Roth here, so.
No. Yeah, I don't know. So that, I mean, look, it's what I saw was 50% chance of precipitation, but light rain slash drizzle. So, and then Keith is seeing heavy thunderstorms. So that is certainly one to keep in mind tonight. Let's just talk about it like the game will play, though. Billy Hamilton, 38 steals in 44 games against the Pirates. That's interesting. You know, that whole Reds lineup last night, if you stack them, congratulations, because number one, you were going against, you know, the Glasnow train that was, so they were very low-owned and, you
Reds
know.
Reds and Nationals stack won all the money last night.
Yes, so congrats to all you
and
ballsy.
And if you could have fit in Jared Eichhoff into that, then you really won all the money last night. I unfortunately had Tanner Roark with my Reds and Nationals stack, so it still did well, but it didn't do as well as I needed it to.
Let's stop talking about the past. All right, Doc. What's standing out here in this one for you?
Well, I think you got to start right where you started, was Billy Hamilton. I mean, look, as much as we like Francisco Cervelli in matchups against on the offensive side of the plate, and the way he handles pitching staffs is pretty good as well, he's not the guy that I really am afraid of targeting elite speed against. Guys like Billy Hamilton, Jose Peraza, both are going to be at the top of my list as far as options today at their respective positions. I also really do kind of like, you know, Joey Votto always pops off the page just because of, you know, he's Joey freaking Votto. But you've got to really like Adam Duvall right now. I mean, him and Eugenio Suarez are absolutely just crushing the ball. And, you know, we talk about it all the time. Ride hot streaks, guys. And I'm willing to ride this hot streak a little bit.
Sure. One guy today, I think it could work out, and especially if he's batting leadoff, Adam Frazier. He's a guy that's incredibly cheap. He had a very good spring training. Now, again, probably not going to get you bombs, not going to do a lot of the, you know, a lot of the He-Man sort of things. But if you're spending up on pitching, you're spending up on other bats, you want to punt the shortstop position. I like Frazier, but only if he's going to be batting leadoff. I feel like, you know, with him going up against Rookie Davis, he could, you know, get on base three times. He could steal some bases. He could do a lot of different things. So, again, for damn near minimum price, you know, if you need that punt anywhere, he could be a nice little addition. Now, I know a lot of people probably aren't going to go that way since you got Steven Drew at the bare minimum at $2,000 on FanDuel, but again, if you want to get weird and different
on
with
DraftKings, he's viable. He's more, yeah. if he's near the top of the lineup, or if he's batting in that nine spot. So, and I say the nine spot because that means that Jameson Taillon would be batting in the eighth spot. So he'd basically be like your second leadoff hitter in a wraparound stack. So,
sure. All right. Anything else before we get out of here for this one?
No, I'm not on Andrew McCutcheon. Starling Marte doesn't look right at the plate, and neither does Gregory Polanco. So,
yeah, McCutcheon looking terrible.
It's the first week of the season. I'm not going to break it down, but I want to see him hit the ball hard a couple times before we start going back to him.
Sure. All right, let's get to the next one. Milwaukee Brewers, they got Wiley Peralta, the righty, going for them. They are at the Toronto Blue Jays. J.A. Happ, the lefty, going for them. Kind of a weird matchup, which we really don't see too often, but that's all right. For the Blue Jays, J.A. Happ had a pretty good start there in his debut against the Baltimore Orioles at 9 strikeouts and 7 innings against them. Blue Jays are tied for the largest favorite on today's slate, and the Brewers have struck out 81 times this season. That's most in the majors so far. Wiley Peralta, he had that great start there against the Rockies. Only went 5 innings, but just kind of kept him off the base pass and did well there. I have a feeling his luck is going to run out, but he may have to face a Blue Jays team that could be without Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, I don't expect Josh Donaldson to play. He kind of, I don't want to say aggravated or hurt. They don't nobody can tell us if it was the same injury that he suffered in the spring or if it's a different one. I don't expect him to be there. Expect to see Darwin Barney probably at third with Devin Travis at second. It puts a little bit of a different spin on this Blue Jays lineup because then you can probably have you're probably going to have Troy Tulowitzki move up to the two spot, or maybe even a Steve Pierce, maybe even a Darwin Barney. I don't know exactly how they're going to do it, but with that said, it's going to change the complexion of this lineup, and that could change how I feel about just going in a complete stack against them.
Gotcha. The FanDuel player bubble said that the ailment was fairly minor, and he's optimistic that I'll be able to play it, but I haven't heard anything, so.
Isn't this their home opener?
It is their home opener.
Okay.
So keep that in mind. All right. With this Jays offense, I don't think we should be completely scared about Peralta. He did have pretty good numbers against the Rockies going into that last start, so we should see him more like more like his usual self in this one. What Jays bats are sticking out the most to you?
All of them. It's very, very, very difficult not to just kind of stack them up. I don't know why they kind of stick out, because we like to target them against left-handed bats or left-handed pitching. But, they're not somebody that I'm afraid to kind of use as one-offs or kind of stack it up. I would much rather stay away from Devin Travis and just go like Donaldson, Batista, Morales, Tulo. But I don't mind doing other things as well. Maybe going a wraparound stack with whoever's in that nine hole. Maybe skipping Morales or Tulo, or just kind of getting creative with it.
All right. Troy Tulowitzki's got some decent numbers against Peralta. 13
Boy, does he.
Bats. Yeah, 308 batting average. You got Batista, seen him a couple times. Russell Martin, homer in, and he's batting 444, 9 at bats against Peralta. Saltamacchia, Justin Smoke, both have some history there as well against him. I think it goes without saying that these guys are going to be good in terms of who we're going to use. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they do. Justin Smoke could be interesting if he gets this nod there. Very cheap there at the first base position. That could be somebody to take a look at. So keep that in mind. I'm not going to be too interested in this Brewers order going up against Happ at home. It was weird. Toronto wasn't as much of a hitter's haven as it usually was. There were, I can't tell you how many balls died on the warning track in Toronto last season, but I don't expect many Brewers players to put them there anyway.
Ryan Braun is interesting. I don't know how interesting yet, but he's interesting. He's on the radar. This is a guy that, he's got a 250 ISO and a 419 wOBA versus left-handed pitching over the last couple of years. He's got one of the higher DFSA grades on the slate. And people don't really like to attack J.A. Happ anymore. We saw that with the Orioles. Make no mistake about it, this is still a pretty good offensive park, and I don't see the Brewers getting shut out. Shutouts are not common, guys. Like, there's at least one or two guys viable in every single lineup, more nights than not. Like, unless you're going against a Clayton Kershaw, and even then, early in the season before he really, really gets ticking, then you can kind of attack him a little bit. I think Ryan Shaw is interesting, or Ryan Shaw. Travis Shaw.
No, I'm thinking Ryan Braun and saying Travis Shaw. I think Ryan Braun is interesting. That would probably be the limit to my exposure for the Brewers. But he's interesting. He's on the radar.
All right. This might even be a decent spot for a boy. Well, not our boy. My boy, Hernan Perez. But we'll see if the Brewers give him the start. They're against the lefty. They should. They would. It would behoove them to do so. So, just see. All right. Anything else to close out, or are we moving on?
Moving on, moving out.
All right. Great AL East matchup. I love when these two teams get together. It's the Baltimore Orioles. It's the Boston Red Sox. Dylan Bundy, who is magnificent in his season debut. The righty, he goes for the Orioles up against Drew Pomeranz, one of my favorites in Major League Baseball. He is a lefty. Bundy, the debut that I mentioned, got the W against these Toronto Blue Jays that we just talked about. He goes 7 innings, 4 hits, no walks, which is key. Only 1 earned run, but 8 strikeouts against these guys. That's something new that Bundy's going to look to, you know, key on for the rest of the season. Pomeranz, this is actually going to be his first start of 2017. He didn't go through the first go-around. I'm a little worried about him. He only had a handful of exceptional starts since he joined the Red Sox. If you remember, he got traded over from the Padres just after the All-Star break. He did face the Orioles once last season, did not go so well. He only lasted 2 innings, gave up 5 earned runs, 2 homers in that stretch. But one thing that is positive for Pomeranz tonight is the fact that the Orioles were one of the worst teams in baseball against left-handed pitching. Pomeranz has 10 strikeouts against current Orioles in 25 at-bats, which is pretty cool. Not exactly sure who crushed him last season, but hopefully they have back ailments or something like that. I think Pomeranz could be a nice start. Now, one of the reasons for Pomeranz struggling last season, you know, coming over mid-season, doesn't have the greatest relationship with the catcher. He had the whole offseason to work with Sandy Leone, so, you know, we should see something better of him. But I do like Pomeranz for a good amount of strikeouts tonight.
Okay. I'm kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum for you.
Oh, boy.
I don't like Drew Pomeranz tonight. I know what the numbers for last year for the Orioles said, but I'm looking at the career numbers for these guys, and you know, last year was kind of one of those anomaly type seasons. I mean, you've got Manny Machado, Mark Trumbo, even Chris Davis, I don't mind, kind of as a one-off. But all of them have over 180 ISO versus left-handed pitching. I even don't mind. I can't believe I'm going to say this. Trey Mancini, if he's in the lineup today, you're going to see his numbers kind of pop out on the DFS Army lineups page, but understand that's a limited sample size. But make no mistake about it, if his number, he's not going to have a 588 ISO versus left-handed pitching over the course of his career.
You tell that to his family.
Those normal should normalize a little bit, but that doesn't mean that he's not going to be a very good hitter versus left-handed pitching, and he's going to be extremely under-owned, so I don't mind that. If you go 4-5-6-7, if he's in that 7-hole against Pomeranz tonight, you could steal some sneaky value.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, again, it's tough to know what we're going to get at Drew Pomeranz, especially in this ballpark. But, again, I like strikeouts from the guy tonight. So
I'm not saying that I don't think that he can't be a good and effective pitcher. And this is – obviously, there's a lot of strikeouts to be had in this lineup. I just don't – oh, my God. Uh-oh. I just don't know if he's one of the ones that I really want to target tonight.
Yeah, and that's a valid point, too. We got 19 other pitchers to pick from in this slate, so don't feel like you have to force him in there. let's talk about bats here, because the Red Sox have straight up owned Dylan Bundy. Now, he did have that great start coming into this season, so that is interesting. But we're talking about, all right, these are the last six appearances for Bundy. This is a total here. So he's pitched 20 innings against the Red Sox. He's got a whip. Get ready for this one, Keith. He's got a whip of 1.95 against the Red Sox in this time period. 15 earned runs. Six of those were home runs. Not a bad idea to, you know, target some Red Sox bats here, obviously. But, you know, you got pretty good BVP numbers here. Mookie Betts, 4-9 with two homers. Jackie Bradley Jr. with the homer. Shout out to my dog. Stanley Leone, 2-for-5 with the homer. Pedroia, 5-of-11. Rock Holt, 3-of-6. I mean, yeah, it's all short term, but tough to get away from that.
Yeah, it is. I love Dylan Bundy, obviously, homegrown kid. I just don't know if this is the matchup for him. Everybody kind of has their Achilles heel, or the guy that, or the team that just kind of, you know, knocks him around. I mean, come on, even Rick Vaughn couldn't get the Yankees out. So I don't think that I'm going to go here. I like Dylan Bundy for the season. I don't think tonight's the night that I want to get him, or I want to use him, though.
Show enough, show enough. All right, any closing thoughts?
I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. The one Red Sox player that has not done well against Dylan Bundy, Hanley Ramirez, he is
open. He's going to be out anyway, so.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
The Red Sox had to get their freaking clubhouse fumigated.
Yeah, with the flu nonsense.
So.
All right. Atlanta Braves throwing Bartolo Colon out at the Miami Marlins. This Dan Straley, the righty, going here. I believe this is going to be the Marlins' first home game, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So you're going to have all the Jose Fernandez, you know, remembrances and tributes and whatnot going on. Should be an emotional night. We just saw the Royals deal with that last night, and their sticks were not in order. So you have to wonder if that's going to, you know, take form on these same Marlins. Bartolo Colon was straight up excellent in that start against the Mets as first of 2017. Wasn't necessarily whiffing anybody, but really kept the Mets hitters off balance. Again, that was a revenge narrative for him, so you got to see how this kind of plays out for him against the Marlins. Weird set of circumstances. And then remember, with Dan Straley, he was so good for the Reds last season at his own home ballpark. How does that translate to him this year at Miami? Much better ballpark that he's pitching in there that he calls home this season. But do you see something like that coming over for him, or will he struggle since it's a new ballpark?
I see it coming over, just I don't know when it's going to actually translate.
The man likes his own bed, clearly.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm not willing to really pick on this Braves team right now, because I think they are pesky. They're feisty. They have some opportunities to hit the ball out of the ballpark. I'm not willing, and this is not a good ballpark to do that with, but I'm still not willing to kind of, you know, pick on these guys. They're a much better team now than they were last year. So it's not like, you know, just like we talked about with the Phillies, you know, this isn't a team that I don't think that I would really, really, really want to pick on. Without it being like an elite pitcher.
No, for sure. And, you know, if we're talking about Straley here, this is an interesting thing too, because he had severe reverse splits. He was much better against left-handed pitching over the last couple seasons than he was against righties. And, you know, we know with the Braves, you know, Freddie Freeman, Nick Markakis, guys like that, that, you know, that these are guys that are going to make the offense work. But I got to tell you, like, I'm not a big fan of using left-handed hitters in Marlins Park. They have one of the deepest right fields in the entire league. So that's something that I always try to stay away from. But this could be an interesting spot for, you know, we saw Dansby Swanson go off on Sunday. Matt Kemp could certainly separate and release on any pitch. Guys like that might be a little more interesting than our regular Braves here.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the reasons I'm staying away from them. Or from, whatchamacallit? Yeah.
Braves?
No, Dan Straley.
Ah.
Was he even a thought?
Nope. Sure was not.
Why would he be? All right.
Because he's not pitching in Cincinnati.
Any interesting Marlins bats you kind of want to go with here against the mellow of Major League Baseball?
Maybe as one-offs. Justin Bour, I think, is very, very interesting. I'm not playing Giancarlo Stanton. Derek Dietrich, who's been absolutely completely freaking amazing, and he's still 2,200 on FanDuel. Those are my two main targets, and then obviously you can't forget about JT Realmuto, who's still 2,600 and batting at the top of that lineup.
Yes, indeed. And again, same thing goes for right-handed bats in the Marlins. I'm not a fan of left-handed bats at this point.
Yeah, but Justin Bour can hit out of freaking Yosemite.
That is a good point. I said he can. I don't have to be a big fan of something that happens every now and again, but. Yeah, I said this, I believe, opening day. Justin Bour is going to make a fantastic softball player one day.
Yes, you did say that. And yes, I did poo-poo you for that because I think he's very, very good at hitting baseballs a long way.
That swing is built for the Jersey City Recreational Department League, let me tell you. All right, I got nothing else from this one. This is one of the games I kind of skipped over with notes, and then we'll have more on this in the analytics quarter today, so you can catch some in-depth notes there. We got more notes to get to, though, of course, right?
Yep.
All right, let's get to the next one here. We've got San Diego Padres throwing Jared Weaver, the righty, up against Keith's Colorado Rockies. Against Antonio Senzatela. Did I get that correct?
Yes, you did.
Damn, I'm good, bruh. All right, so I don't know a damn thing about Senzatela, so I'm going to let you brief the people on that one. But I do know about Jared Weaver, and boy, this guy, he reminds me of a guy named Matt Walters, okay? And I'm going to bring up Matt Walters because he pitched, like, this was back when I was really good and on baseball back in the day, but I was facing real pitching the entire time, but I faced Matt Walters. Walters is about, like, the definition of a meatball, right? So the kid just threw maybe 25 miles an hour, if that. He threw the speed limit in a residential neighborhood. That is basically how he threw, and I couldn't hit the guy for the life of me. So I'm sure everybody's got a guy like this in their own, their Babe Ruth or whatever hell league they played in growing up. But for a Rockies team that is struggling at the plate right now, is Jared Weaver possibly the worst thing for this team right now?
I think he is. We were talking about it before the show. Besides Blackman, LeMahieu, Nolan, and Gerardo Parra, well, even Matt Reynolds, which I know I just named off like five guys. Collectively as a offense, we are just not anywhere near where we're going to be. I'm not thrilled. I'm not saying that we should completely fade Colorado.
Blow up the team!
Well, we can't because we don't even have our full team there yet. I'm not saying that we're going to completely, fade Colorado and Coors Field tonight. If you're doing that, then you're doing that because you're building multiple lineups and kind of the same deal and situation like last night. You're trying to just hope that one of these other games goes off, and which is more of a likelihood, in the spring rather than, when we get into the dog days.
Yeah, I don't think this is a good situation for Colorado. I'll probably use them as a lot of one-offs and very, very few stacks rather than as a main core as a stack tonight. I think their ownership is going to be astronomical, even on a larger slate than they were last night. But I'm not sure that's such the right move, so...
I'm trying with Weaver, right? I mean, it's come one, come all. If he's locating his pitches in the right spot, he could be a real pain in the ass. But if these pitches aren't, if they're not hitting their spots, then Jesus Christ on the cross, it's going to be a long night. There's part of me that thinks maybe the Rockies do need to see a slow pitcher. I mean, who knows what's going on with their offense right now. But Weaver can certainly be had in a couple spots. I don't think a complete Rocky stack would be the way to go. I think having a piece of this Rockies lineup is the way to go. And it sucks in baseball, right? Because if you're doing one lineup like myself, you got to make sure that you hit the right guy in the lineup. If not, you're going to be up Schitt's Creek without a paddle, however they say it.
Mm-hmm.
So you try to find who that guy is. And you bring up a fantastic point about just ownership being through the roof. I mean, Jared Weaver, we target this guy all the time. That's a guy that we want to target. And it's Coors Field, so everybody's just going to jump on it. But I really think that you can benefit. Like, I didn't go completely nuts on Coors Field last night. I picked the wrong guy. I had Nolan Arenado and Travis Jankowski, and I just completely picked the wrong guys when far more other people went off. That, like, it worked in one sense, but not in the other. So, I don't like any sort of inkling who that guy from the Rockies could be tonight.
Oh, Nolan.
Like, who's your best softball players on the Rockies?
Mark Reynolds.
Yeah, all right, that works.
I think that Nolan, Charlie Blackmon, both of those two, those would probably be my two main targets. As a Rockies fan, I'll have them stacked in a multitude of different ways, throughout and everything, but I do that more of, that's how I, don't kick myself in the ass at the end of the night and start second guessing myself, throughout the season, is understand that every single day I will always have at least one or two Rocky stacks in my lineups. But that's because I have to do that in order to be able to make sound decisions throughout the rest of my lineups. Some nights it'll pay off, some nights it won't. Some nights they'll go out and they'll score 13 runs against the San Francisco Giants in AT&T Park in one inning. Other nights they won't score three run or five runs against Jared Cozart in Coors Field. So that's just the way I handle it. Now, I can give you individual analysis for each player, but as far as me telling you to completely avoid them, I can never do that. I will tell you that if you are going to avoid them, the time to do it is early in the season because the air is not quite as dynamic. The ball does not fly out quite as much with it being cooler air. But that's when you're sitting here going, okay, you've got Jared Weaver and you've got Senzatella and you've got the Rockies and you've got Vegas that has so graciously put this run total at a 12, which I think is very low, but maybe that is telling us something considering it's not at a 13 or a 14,
Sure, sure. Have you taken a look at, and I usually do, I have great notes on this one either, admittedly, prior to the pod, but have you taken a look at Weaver's numbers against current Rockies?
I have not. Do I need to?
Yeah, I believe we're owed it to hear your reaction live.
So let's see here. Go to the BVP tab of the DFS Army lineups page. Highlight with not Jameson Taillon, not Jared Cozart. Why is Jared?
Much easier way for you folks out there to do it. ESPN.com. You go to the player pro bat verse pitch. Boom.
Oh yeah, but you know, you could just do it with.
Sounds good. Good.
You could just do it with ours too, and just be good to go. Let's see. Gerardo Parra, 1-for-5. Alexi Amarista, who probably won't start tonight, 1-for-5. Mark Reynolds, 0-for-6. Carlos Gonzalez, 0-for-5.
With 4 strikeouts.
Yeah, with 4 strikeouts. And their average exit velocity for the two that it looked like have put the ball in play is right around 72 miles per hour.
Hey! That's a California highway.
Oh, that's an Oklahoma highway. This is going to be a shitstorm tonight. So, yeah, there's viability to – because everybody's going to be going to it, and it's going to eat up a lot of salary and a lot of ownership. There's viability to going the opposite way. So make sure if you are playing lineups tonight, multiple lineups, you have some non-Colorado Rocky – stacks. So yeah, that's my opinion. No, notice there's not a Charlie Blackman or Nolan Arenado in this. So how Carlos Gonzalez? Yeah. That's got to be Carlos Gonzalez's at bats before he was like when he was at Oakland Athletic.
When he was right-handed?
No, when he was at Oakland Athletic.
Okay.
So, because
the games that Carlos was trying out the right side of the plate, but
yeah, that's got to be cargo stats when he was at Oakland A. That's the only thing I can even remotely think of because it's kind of weird that cargo's been with the Rockies since 2009 and he's got 5 at bats yet. Guys like Nolan, Charlie Blackman, you know, guys like that. And Blackman's been around since, 2010, 2011 as well.
I don't know. I might have to play Cargo. I hear KD in the back trying to add in his 2 cents.
I know. We keep talking about Cargo, and he keeps going, So, Cargo tonight, bubbies.
He's being coy.
He's not wanting to give it away. So, that's got to be when he was Oakland A. Anyways, we spent too much time on the Rockies and talking about Jared Weaver.
Sure. I'm a little interested in Senzatella tonight. I know he's pitching in Coors. That's not the interesting part. Going against the Padres is. But did go 93 innings there. That last start was his major league debut. Didn't give up any runs there, which was pretty awesome. I believe he got the win, correct?
Yes.
No, he didn't.
No, because we scored in the 6th inning.
No, he did not get the win. But, I mean, you know, the numbers look pretty solid here from the peripheral. 3 walks isn't that great, but, you know, he only gave up 2 hits. So he got the whiff right there at 1. Lucky for him, right? His first 2 major league starts against the Brewers and the Padres. So, I'm interested to see what his price is on maybe like a, like a fantasy draft or, of course, DraftKings where you can use that SP2. That might be worth a decent look, but you would definitely have a better idea than I would.
He is 5,000 on DK.
Okay.
He is more expensive than Jared Weaver. But then again, so is Cargo, DJ. In fact, there is only two players, if you count Tony Walters, which we never do. I love Tony Walters as a defensive catcher and everything. I think he's going to be a lot better offensively, but as far as DFS purposes, no. There is only one player that is less expensive than Jared Weaver tonight, and it's only by $100 on DraftKings.
The Royals Bull boy.
No, Gerardo Parra.
Ah, okay. Wow, that's interesting. Any Padres bats that we're looking at here?
I think Will Myers is going to be extremely highly owned tonight.
Coming off a cycle.
Yep, and I'm willing
not
to
a
fade.
Steroid cycle, a single, double, triple, homer.
Yep, I'm willing to fade. I don't mind a nice little stack of Solarte, Shimp, and Renfro. If you want to throw Will Myers in there, sure, go ahead. Why not? But I'd rather throw in a guy like Manuel Margot. I kind of like that a little bit better. Shimp looked a little bit kind of tamed at the plate last night. I don't think that that's going to continue. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of home runs. It's going to be a lot of doubles, a lot of singles, a lot of consecutive, you know, hits back to back to back. So.
All right. We got three games left to get to. Yes. So let's take a look at them now. Cole Hamels, my former Philly, goes for the Texas Rangers. He's a lefty. He's going up against Tyler Skaggs, another lefty of the LA Angels. Hamels gets no decision in his 2017 debut. That one against the Indians, now in tough matchup. Again, Hamels on the road. Last season, a completely different pitcher than he was at home. I believe his ERA was, you know, two runs less there. He had a 10-3 record, 106 strikeouts in 108 and two-thirds innings. 2-0 in his last four starts against the Angels, whip 1.19, 22 strikeouts in 26 innings. You know, against their current roster, it's not a great strikeout rate, just under 19%, but... Yeah, I like Cole Hamels on the road. He's always going to be one of the better pitchers on each slate that he is on. As for Tyler Skaggs, he picked up the loss in his 2017 debut. That was against the A's. Gives up five earned runs and five and a third. Five strikeouts there. Did have 89 pitches. Not very good against Texas in his last three starts. 1-1, 7.90 ERA, 1.82 WHIP, which is not very good. And opposing Rangers are batting 309 against him. One thing that was pretty interesting in this, just going over it, Skaggs. You know, he's listed as a good dollar per point pitcher on today's slate, but I can't deal with that. With the Rangers. And what's kind of crazy is that left-handed hitters are actually hitting 299 against Skaggs over the last three seasons. So we know the Rangers got plenty of them. It feels like they can get to him tonight.
Yeah, it does. I don't like the Rangers outside of their current ballpark. I don't like them when they're on the home normally, but this is not a bad matchup at all. And I'm not afraid to kind of go there. If I do go there, I want to make sure that it's with guys that got some pop. Nomar Mazara, probably Rogne Odor.
Horses.
Yeah, horses. Maybe some Carlos Gomez. Who is the imposter cargo? I'm not thrilled by it, but you know, as a mini stack, maybe a Mazara and a Odor, you know, would be kind of nice. So
yeah, that's not a bad idea. Having all these great numbers against Skaggs kind of works out for the Rangers, but that's probably more where I'm leaning. Escobar is actually kind of interesting on the other side.
Why am I sitting here? Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but why did you not stop me when I was talking about lefty on lefty matchups?
Because it works.
Yeah, but Mazara, it doesn't work. For Mike Napoli, it does work though. Sorry. I completely forgot that Tyler Skaggs was a lefty. I still like Rogne Odor. Like, that doesn't bother me, but not Mazara. I'd rather do a Napoli Odor mini stack rather than a Mazzara Odor mini stack.
So. What in the hell? Rick Carlisle confirms Tony Romo will be in the lineup for the Mavericks.
What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What? Fox, no way.
Fox FS1, check it out. It's going down.
Twitter.
Yeah.
Why are all these freaking Jazz tweeting just out the number 50? Did they win? Oh, my gosh.
It might be the 50th win. Might be the 50th one. Anywho, we're talking here. I like all those Rangers bats against Skaggs. That should just be a phenomenal time. So I just want to bring up this one stat here. It's very interesting. So Cole Hamels has actually done very well against most of this Angels lineup. Got some phenomenal numbers here. Owns Albert Pujols. Pujols is 6 for 35. Danny Espinosa, 3 for 23. 8 strikeouts. Andrelton Simmons, 3 for 25. Mike Trout, 2 for 10. Those are all great, right? So that's fine. All in dandy. Yunel Escobar, though, he's off to a nice start here for the Angels. Third in the American League, 4-14 batting average. Got all the hits to go with it. That's fancy, right? So he has faced Cole Hamels here 33 times. He spent a lot of time with the Braves earlier in his career when Hamels was with the Phillies. So he's 7-33 against Hamels, which those numbers aren't that great. But he's got 11 career walks against him, which is fantastic. Like, I don't know how anybody does that. So that's a .409 on base percentage when he's batting 7-33 against him. That's phenomenal. Phenomenal. Any way you can get on base, you do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty much a no-brainer. This is going to be a development with this Tony Romo thing. this is completely enthralled my morning. Like, this is for real.
Yeah, DeAndre Jordan not happy about it.
A Nuggets employee said they're making a mockery of the sport. Well, your defense makes a mockery of the sport.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Oh, my gosh.
I wonder if Tony's going to have the backwards hat on.
Is Tony available on FanDuel tonight? And is he going to be the point guard? Because if so, I want him. I will play DFS NBA tonight just so I can play Tony Romo on FanDuel.
Wow. Hot take. Okay. Anything Rangers, Angels? I hate to be that douche that has to bring it back on topic. But.
No, we've already talked about it. We hate Tyler Skaggs. We love Cole Hamels. Yeah, there's your analysis.
All right. Fair enough. I know. We're all the buzz here. All right. We actually just saw this matchup last week. Houston Astros at the Seattle Mariners. Joe Musgrove against Ariel Miranda. Astros actually tied for the most homers in the majors this season. That actually along with the Texas Rangers, who I failed to mention that in that last analysis there. So Musgrove had absolutely terrible numbers on the road last season. Much better pitcher at home. Did a fairly decent job against the Mariners last week. Miranda actually did a pretty good job holding a lot of these Astros bats at bay. I'm not particularly interested in either pitcher. I think that's kind of ridiculous, but maybe an SP2 for Miranda might work. Don't expect many strikeouts, even though this Astros team can strike out. That's just not the type of pitcher Miranda is. What bats are sticking out here? Because we can certainly have a few.
I don't know what to do with Miranda here. The reason I say that he's actually ranked towards the bottom, but like his pitching profile plays better than what his underlining stats are showing. And I think it has to do more with the fact of just the opponent that he's facing. Nelson Cruz, I think that Boomstick finally comes out of its cave. It's winter hibernation tonight.
Well, so, when the Boomstick goes boom.
Yeah, I will have a lot of Nelly. Nelly. I also don't mind Mitch Haniger.
Yes. He's a guy a lot of baseball nerds were talking about this offseason. He's actually been hitting very well.
Yeah, and it looks like actually just at first glance, now we'll have to wait on when lineups are confirmed and everything, but it looks like at first glance the nice little Mariner stack might be a Mitch Haniger, Robinson Cano, Nelson Cruz, Kyle Singler. They all have, you know, it'd be shocked for you to know, but Nelly actually has the lowest DFSA grade out of the four with a 43. The rest of them all have grades over 50.
Oh, Nelly.
So, and if you want to know what the average DFSA grade is, all you have to do is scroll up to the top. I'm not going to give that out. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. You know, now that, you know, these two pitchers faced each other last week, nearly an identical stat line. I believe one number is off on one of them, but very, very crazy.
Yeah. Joe Musgrove is
poop on the road.
Yeah, there's a lot of people really touting him up tonight, or not tonight, but touting him up, period, for the season. But the question is he going to be able to turn it around? This is not a bad pitcher's park. However, this is a pitcher's park that, you know, can be susceptible to the home run at times. Guys like Jose Altuve are going to be highly owned. Guys like George Springer are going to be highly owned. Just because people play the Astros versus left-handed bats, you're going to have, you know, Carlos Correa, you're going to have Evan Gattis. They're all going to be very, very highly owned. And I'm not sure that that's such a smart thing tonight, just because of the fact that, you know, it's these guys are boom or bust. They haven't been. That's one of the reasons why they got Nori Aoki, who hasn't really kind of got it going yet. But
he will, damn it.
Oh, I know he will. I am not worried about Mr. Japanese three hole hitter.
You know.
But is these guys are they're boom or bust. And with being boom or bust, you have to really, really kind of look at the options. I don't know. George Springer's not going to steal me a lot of bases, but he can put the ball in the gaps and put the ball out of the ballpark. Which is fine, but is he really the guy that's going to be that table setter to get a stack going? You know, the only way that stacks are viable is if everybody's kind of contributing and doing their own part. You know, if you're getting a bunch of solo home runs, unless they all hit solo shots, it's not really viable. You're still better off kind of using them as one-offs, because then you're hoping that, you know, Springer gets one in the first, and then Altuve gets one in the fifth, and then, you know, Correa gets one in the seventh, you know, and then Gattis gets one in the ninth, or whatever it may be. And unless somebody gets on in front of those bombs, it's not really it's not really profitable unless you've got them all. So I don't know. I don't like stacking the Astros. Because they don't have those guys besides Alex Bregman and Nori Aoki that can really, you know, set the table and create things and get on base in front of their big power hitters. So,
yeah, as you were talking, I remember Ariel Miranda. He is an extreme fly ball pitcher, so. Yeah, I remember that. That was an issue being at Houston last week, being in Seattle with a lot more room to work out with. It, you know, things should be fine. He did have four strikeouts against the Astros last week, did give up two homers. I believe one of those was a squeaker. One was from Springer, which absolutely cleared the entire state of Texas. But I think he'll be all right tonight. Seattle needs some wins. They're 2-6 right now. They really got to get off the schneid here. So,
Like I said, I'm Seattle's one of those teams that we always love stacking because they're one of the most viable offenses to stack on the West Coast because of the guys that they have. And I will have a Seattle stack going against Mr. Joe Musgrove tonight. So just because of the way that they can move the lineup, they can turn over the lineup and keep, and they kind of do have that next man up mentality.
Sure. All right, last game of the night. Let's get to AT&T Park, where we got the Arizona Diamondbacks throwing Robbie Ray, the lefty, at it. The San Francisco Giants, Jeff Samardzija, the righty, going for them. Robbie Ray, one pitch, one out away from a quality start in his last appearance. That was against these same Giants. Six strikeouts against them in 5 2/3 innings. Did give up one homer, but did get no decision there. 99 pitches he threw in that one, so... I like that aspect of
it. But a ball ain't won.
Yeah. Does get the ballpark boost from being at AT&T Park tonight. Does have a 27% strikeout rate against current Giants on the roster. He'll definitely get a huge upgrade there if Buster Posey is going to be out for this game.
I expect him to be.
Yeah, he's expected to be. All right. So that works. Certainly. Who came in for him yesterday? I forgot the name.
Nick Hundley.
Yes, indeed. Former Rocky. I knew you would know. Samardzija coming in as one of the top dollar per point pitchers tonight on tonight's slate. While last week's start against the Diamondbacks did not go that well, he did have 9 strikeouts in 5 1/3 innings. So that part is certainly reasonable to deal with. We know the Diamondbacks have long been striking out for a while now. Their offense is definitely going to see a significant downgrade, just as they did yesterday being in AT&T Park. I'm always very nervous going up against Samardzija, but if he can, kind of stay away from that 2-4-6 Rockies lefties, or I'm sorry, that 2-4-6 D-backs lefty stack that they got going there, I think he could be in for a decent night.
Has there ever been a more hated pitcher than Jeff Samardzija in DFS?
You got to give me time to think about that, but top of the head answer, no.
Okay, well, then I think that both of these pitchers are viable tonight. Sure. Like, if we liked Robbie Ray last year, last week when he was going against the Giants in Arizona, then why would we not like him tonight? That's kind of one of the questions. The other question I have is if we know that everybody and their brother is going to maybe not play Diamondbacks hitters because of Jeff Samardzija, but they're not playing Jeff Samardzija, why he's getting the same ballpark boost. The only question I have is the Giants offense going to be able to get the win? I think Samardzija is more of a DraftKings play than a FanDuel play. Even though the win is not as weighted, I think he can get the quality start, but I don't think he can. I'm very, very skeptical about the win. I would rather play Robbie Ray on FanDuel where I can get the strikeouts and play Jeff Samardzija on DK. Not that Robbie Ray's out of play on DK. It's just I'm not going to have any exposure to Jeff on FanDuel. I don't have it on DraftKings.
Right. Yeah, and, we talk about Ray with these strikeouts. That kind of neutral – I mean, look, Brandon Belt has had some decent numbers off Robbie Ray, but still the platoon advantage there does not – or the platoon disadvantage there for Belt does not help him. Probably going to see a colder temperature out there in San Francisco tonight. That's certainly going to help the pitcher. We're looking at, 50 – just below 60 degrees. Pretty windy, though. A lot of wind going out to left field here in this one. I got to tell you, I always love Ray for that strikeout upside. And again, just the ballpark should really help Samardzija in this one. But when we look at the two lineups, I'm more worried about Samardzija because, sure, left-handed hitters hammer him, but he's also got to deal with A.J. Pollock and Paul Goldschmidt. He's done pretty well against Goldschmidt in his career, but still, those are two hitters that, believe me, I'd rather go up against a whole litany of players there. So Ray intrigues me. I believe The Giants are the Vegas favorite in this one tonight, too. Yeah, minus 125. This game does have the lowest total of the night, so it would behoove you to have one of the two pitchers for sure.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those nights where you're going to want to have some exposure all across the board. As far as the different time zones and everything, I mean, come on, when you hold Paul Goldschmidt to a 208 average out over 24 at bats, then I've got a little bit of interest in you in going to, you know, one of the bigger ballparks of the night. So
Goldie had a nice oppo field homer against Samardzija last week. If that is in San Francisco, it just clunks off the wall for maybe a double. He hit the ball so damn hard. But yeah, the lefties really got at him in that last start. Got to keep that in mind. But overall, I think ballpark helps both pitchers in this one big time. So my pitcher is definitely coming from this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have multiple exposure to both of these pitchers. I kind of explained where and how. But, I mean, are there any one-offs as far as bats that we're going to have? Because somebody's got to score a run.
Yeah, you talked about Paul Goldschmidt there. By the way, he hit the ball ridiculously solid, I think, three times yesterday and had zero fantasy points to show for it. Luck by chance could come, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, look, those lefties from Arizona, they really got on top of Samardzija last week. I could certainly see him doing the same again. Jake Lamb, David Peralta, guys like that kind of excite me. And I guess from I believe Hunter Pence has really good numbers against Robbie Ray, if I'm not mistaken.
Of course. Hunter Pence and his knee highs have good numbers against a lot of pitchers.
Former Philly. Blah, blah.
He was an Astro before Philly.
I know, but he allowed us to get Tommy Joseph. Thanks. I guess if I were doing a one-off, it'd probably be Hunter Pence there. And if Nick Hundley starts tonight, he's not even a terrible option. I believe he's got pretty good numbers against Ray as well. So,
You got to understand, most of those came, a lot of those numbers.
In Colorado, okay.
No, came in Colorado or in Arizona.
Okay.
So you take it with, yes, good numbers is great, but take it with a grain of salt. Some of those, I don't know how long, Robbie Ray's been around, but some of those could have come when he was with San Diego as well.
Yes.
So,
and again, I love using Ray just for that strikeout upside, but especially, in decent spots on the road, that's where I like using him more often. So again, I think you could tell that we both have a lot of love for the pitching in this one. So.
Yeah, and Robbie Ray's won us a lot of money before, so.
Indeed. All right, that'll do it for today's show. Any dong calls for you today, sir?
I already said it, Nelly Boomstick.
Nelly Boomstick, you like that? All right.
Nelly go boom!
For me, I'm going to get crazy. I'm going to get real crazy tonight. Cesar Hernandez.
Of course you would.
Yep.
Of course you would.
Harvey's getting taken yard a couple times tonight. All right, that'll do it.
That's your just disdain for the Mets.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't worry, folks. We got, 155, 154 more days of it, so just get comfortable. Again, if you want to join us, dfsarmy.com is the place to do so. Use the promo code OPENINGDAY. You'll get 7 free days. You can check us out. A good time would be today, but of course, if you want to start up maybe Saturday using it for the you can use the Domination Station for the NBA playoffs, but of course, I recommend you get in today. Why not? You use that promo code again, opening day at dfsarmy.com. So for me, Keith, and the rest of the Army, we gone. Peace.
Peace out.